But it's good to be here. Thank you for letting me come. I appreciate the invitation of your preacher. And thank you. I still like Sunday night church. I still like it. I think it's the right thing to do. It's the Lord's day, not the Lord's morning. And a lot of people are shutting the lights off on Sunday night. How in the world is lights off and nobody here better than lights on and everybody here? I mean, what are you improving by turning the lights off and going home except the devil's satisfaction? And I'm glad you're here, and thank you for coming. And looking forward to hearing from your preacher and about good report on the trip. Amen. And I've already heard some good things, and looking forward to hearing some more. Well, it's good to be saved. Amen. I'm glad the Bible's still true, and heaven's still there, and the Lord's still on the throne, and every promise is still true. And I'm not going to victory. I'm running from victory. I got that when I got saved. Amen. And the whole truth is, we've already won this thing, and it ain't no time to get discouraged now. Amen? Press on. Devil loves us to get all down in the mouth. That's what happened to Jonah. He got all down in the mouth. Amen? And this bad things happened. There's still plenty to praise the Lord for. I know a lot of Baptists, you ought to holler hallelujah just once in your life before you get to heaven. Amen? I mean, it would feel so good if you just try it one time, you know, but it's all right. Take your Bible and find Proverbs chapter number 1. A little bit of a different message tonight. I like glory messages and three good points that all start with the same letter, two poems and a good story. You know, I like those. There's nothing wrong with them. Sometimes, though, you kind of feel led by experience. And maybe kick it down in second for a little while. Kind of slow down a little. And my desire, not to give you a good chance to laugh and cry, but I want to get your brain cranking here. I hope we can learn something together in the Word of God. I'm going to talk about kind of the idea of Mother's Day, sort of extend it, maybe a facet of it, and throw Dad in for good measure and talk about Mom and Dad, and the rearing of children. You have no greater joy than to know that your children walk in the truth, and you will have no greater sorrow than if they don't. If you have a prodigal, the last thing in this world that I want to do is discourage you or beat you up or insinuate you're a bad parent or something. That's not my goal at all. The prodigal had a good father. There was nothing wrong with his father. His father did everything right. So that's not my point. And when we talk about raising a child, if you've got a child that's out in the world, well, if Junior or Sissy thinks we're going to quit praying, they got another thing coming. We're going to keep praying. We're going to work. We're going to watch for those moments to say a word fitly spoken, like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, and do everything we can to be the right example, and long for that day when they kneel at this altar and get right with the God, amen, that we love. And I've seen it happen. So have you. And I don't know if preacher don't tell me, I don't ask. In a crowd this size, though, there's probably some folks that's got children, or especially grown children, that you wish it's here, but that's not. Let me ask you this question, though. How many of you have ever been a prodigal in your life? You've got away from the Lord. Yeah. You're not proud of it, but there's been time, there was at least a season in your life when you was a whole lot more like the prodigal than not. I mean, stick your hand up. Would you share with us? And I'm not trying to brag on you or anything, but you all that have someone your heart's broken over, these people are back in church tonight. They were singing the songs tonight. They got their Bible open in their lap tonight. It doesn't mean that they have to be gone forever. God worked in their life, brought them back. We're going to pray that your prodigal ends up back. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to be encouraging. Tonight, this is going to kind of lean a little bit maybe more teaching than preaching some. Look at Proverbs chapter number 1, and let's read a few verses. Proverbs 1, 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all the precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, and this will be our text verse, we want to look especially at this. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. I want you to notice there's three groups of people listed in that verse. Early in the book of Proverbs, God brings up the subject of simple ones, scorners, and fools. And if you know anything about the book of Proverbs, especially in the first 8 or 10 chapters, he keeps talking about simple ones, scorners, and fools. That subject comes up over and over again. And my burden tonight is I want to talk about how not to raise a fool, how to raise a wise son or a wise daughter. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you that we stand in, Lord, your church, Lord, and we thank you for this assembly, this local assembly, and the pastor and all those who labor here so faithfully. Lord, we thank you that we have your word preserved in our language, in our hand. We thank you that we still have the freedom, Lord, to sing the songs of Zion and to proclaim the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us now, Lord, in these next few moments, Lord, to say just what we should, nothing more or less. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing. God, I want to be. I'd rather close my Bible and sit down and let someone else stand up here than to mess this up or to say anything amiss or misleading or, Lord, that could be misunderstood. Lord, help me, I pray. And Lord, let us leave here tonight when these lights are off, when this place is quiet and dark. I pray you will be pleased with what's happened here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're living in a day when this is a needy generation. I never saw the beat. I'm 67 years old. And I can remember as a child hearing Brother Crumpton from down in Mississippi and Percy Ray and W.B. Bingham, great men of God, preaching about what we would look to see happen in America. And I remember as a child thinking, well, that might happen someday, but I didn't think it would ever happen in my lifetime. But it has. It has. And we're seeing it. We're still on the winning side. I got that. But I'm telling you, the devil's pulling out all the stops. My personal conviction is he knows his time is short, and he's giving it all he's got in these days. And we need to at least have as much religion as the devil, amen, and to give it all that we've got and to do what we can in these days. We're living in a time of crisis. I believe I mentioned this morning, I think the challenge to parents, you parents, with especially with young children, I think you have a greater challenge than going in a wagon train in the Wild West with Indians and rattlesnakes and buzzards. I mean, I'd rather fight them than drug dealers and that stupid internet. I'm not bitter, but that stupid internet. When I was pastor, I got so weary of dealing with problems that kept going back to social media and pornography and talking to your old high school sweetheart, and here you go. And you know the rest of the story. You already know the rest of the story. And children being preyed upon by predators, and the danger, and then just throw in for good measure somebody trying to get in your bank account and take all your money. I mean, folks, we got to have more sense than to just act like it doesn't exist. There's a danger out there. It's a real danger. And if it was just our money at stake, well, then whatever, most of us wouldn't have much to worry about. But it's our children. It's our grandchildren. That's the prize that they're going after, and they're doing it with great success. All we have to do for them to be successful is for us to do nothing. And just to stick our head in the sand and say, well, the Lord take care of it. And that's not the answer. It's a battle. It's a real battle. We're called to be soldiers in this battle. The 100,000 American kids are in jail. Over half live in a broken home. 65 out of 1,000 7-year-olds are receiving psychiatric treatment from a lost man. From a lost man who doesn't know how to help them, probably. 1 million 12 to 17-year-old girls have given birth to a baby in the last 12 months. I don't say an illegitimate child. I hate that term. There's nothing illegitimate about that child. There's illegitimate parents, but there's not an illegitimate child. Amen? Don't look at me that way. Now, you know that's true. You know, it's an illegitimate parent. That's the problem. 1 out of 5 American teens use drugs twice a week. 10 million minors in the United States are infected with some form of a venereal disease. 10 million minors. Suicide is at all-time high. 10 to 15% of American kids have tried or attempted suicide, thought about suicide. 15% have seriously thought about suicide. Heart-rending, one of the most heart-rending experiences I ever had. I was at Sycamore Hospital one day, got that call, Brother Terrell, come quick. Got there and walked in, what in the world? And there was a teen girl that had been active in church and sang specials and knew the memory verses and went to camp and all of that. And you know the story. And got sideways about something and got out into the world and got despondent and tried to take her own life. Her daddy was a deacon in the church. He looked at me and he said, Brother Terrell, come with me. And walked in the bathroom. I remember we walked in the men's restroom, and I thought maybe he was sick and just needed help or something. I never will forget walking in that bathroom. And just he wailed. I mean, just wailed. Just screamed out to God. Put his hands on the wall and just fell in the floor. And just wept and said, God help my little girl. God help my little girl. Folks, that doesn't happen overnight. And let me tell you something. The only perfect parents is God. Is God. Amen? And none of us are perfect. But you listen to me. We don't. God has a solution for that. We don't have to just sit around and hope that never happens to us. There is a defense. There are promises that God gave us that we can claim. And you hear me. If I could drive this home, be consistent and start early. Be consistent and start early. Don't have convictions in Miami Beach and convictions in Goshen that are different. Don't do that. Don't not drink at church picnics, but if the boss is at the company picnic, don't do that. Amen? Don't get up and give a pious testimony and then go home and watch cable TV or turn that stupid internet on. I'm not bitter. Turn that stupid internet on, you know, and nobody's looking. And all of a sudden, what you would think all somebody ought to be church for, there you are guilty of it. Kids aren't stupid. Amen? Start early and be consistent. Every day in America, 1,000 unwed teenage girls become mamas. 1,106 teenage girls get an abortion. 4,219 teenagers contract a sexually transmitted disease. 500 teenagers start using drugs. 1,000 teenagers start drinking alcohol. 3,610 teens are assaulted. 80 are raped. 2,200 teens drop out of high school. 7 kids are murdered. 7 juveniles are arrested for murder. 6 teens commit suicide. Every day in America. And it's not just unchurched people in the inner city whose parents are drug dealers. It's not just them. If it was just them, there would still be a tragedy, and we should still be reaching out. Amen? But you listen to an old burglar that's 67 years old, and this is not my first rodeo. I am here to tell you, those things are reaching into Bible-believing, independent Baptist churches where we read out of King James Bibles and sing the right kind of music and go to the right camp. It is getting in there too. You hear me? You say, well, not much. If it's one, it's too much. And there's a trend, folks. There's a trend. God help us. Now, God has a plan. God has a plan. There's a lot in Proverbs, a ton right here. Proverbs, especially early on, is written from a conversation of a parent, particularly a daddy here, of a daddy to a child. And that communication, and as a father, as a mama, help me to the daddy, giving a united front. One of the worst spankings I ever got in my life was I wanted to go home with Alan Hammonds after Bible school because he had a swimming pool. So I asked Dad, can I go home with Alan? He said no. I thought, well, I ain't giving up. I'll ask Mom. So I went and asked Mom, can I go home with Alan? She said, sure, fine. And off I went. Mom and Dad compared notes. when Mom found out that Dad had said no, when I asked her, she was madder than Dad. But Dad was mad enough, I promise you, you know. But I found out real quick, you're not going to divide them two. You know what I mean? You can't play one against the other. I found out if I was in trouble with one, I was in trouble with the other one. You could not do that. I found out me and Dad didn't have secrets we didn't tell Mom. I found out me and Mom didn't have secrets we didn't tell Dad. You look at your kid and say, now don't tell Daddy. Wrong. I'm not talking about a surprise birthday party. You know what I mean here. You don't do that. You don't do that. Look at 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Look at 2:1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. Look at 3:1. My son, forget not my law. Turn the page. 4:1. Hear ye the instruction of a father. Look at 5:1. My son, attend unto my wisdom. 6. My son, if thou be a surety. Look at verse 7. My son, keep my words. Do you see a pattern developing here? Amen? Here you have God giving us how we are to deal with our children as we raise them. And three people, groups of people, keep coming up. Again, you go home, study, do a little outline, get your Bible notes out. This is fascinating. You can go more in depth than we'll get tonight. Talks about simple ones, scorners, and fools. Simple ones, scorners, and fools. And mama, daddy, again, start early. Start early. Don't wait till they're 14 and in juvenile hall. You've waited 14 years and 140 pounds too late. Amen? Oh, John R. Rice said, I believe in capital punishment, but that's not the answer to crime. The answer to crime is not the electric chair, it's in the high chair. And he was right about that. Start early and be consistent. If you write in your Bible, if you want to take notes, this might be helpful, at least until we get done preaching. You can kind of stay up with this. Simple ones, the idea there's a naive teenager. They're naive. They're not near as smart as they think they are. They think that, remember when you was 14, you should have wrote a book. You knew everything. Amen. You knew it all. You should have wrote a book. You missed your chance. A simple one is naive. A scorner is a smart aleck. He's a smart aleck. It's a little bit meaner than a simple one. A simple one's kind of, hey, yeah, everything's fun. I don't care. A scorner's a, yeah. Then there's a fool. A fool's a rebel. A fool. A scorner and a simple one are known by what they love. They love simplicity. They love goofing off. They love being free. They love no rules. They love, being goofy. They love doing their own thing. They love being like everybody else. But a fool is not known by what he loves. A fool is known by what he hates. And now listen to me. I'm not saying there's no hope. Because if there's Christ, there's hope. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the prodigal came home, and I am not saying no hope. But I hope I can communicate this with you. I hope you get what I'm saying. I hope you don't misunderstand me. But the Bible, because it is so true, it's very plain that it usually doesn't end well. Is there hope for a fool? Yeah, of course there is. But the Bible never promises to expect much success. Usually, you're going to see a bad result once they get to that spot. Are you with me? Usually. You say, you're telling me to give up on my child. I'm saying just the opposite. But I am telling you, this is a true statement, there's not much hope for a fool. Biblically. That's God's word tells us to keep our children from becoming fools. The emphasis here is upon prevention. Over and over. Reality is very few fools will come back. That fool is not low mental ability. God never does that. God never calls someone, you know, a fool in the sense of you're stupid. God doesn't do that. I've in 67 preached the gospel about 45 years and met a lot of folks. And sometimes there's people that's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You know, I mean, they're just not. They're probably not going to do well on a calculus exam. I mean, you know, but isn't it amazing how they're so good at something? I mean, they just can bless your heart. You know, they just brighten up a room. I mean, you know, they just... I heard about an old boy down in Tennessee, and he lived next door to a big furniture store. And he went over there, and the fella did the best he could, but he kind of struggled with academics. And he went over to the owner of the store, and the owner of the store was out there, and he's talking to a bunch of other big rich guys. And he walked up there and looked at the guy, and he said, "You want to go to heaven?" And the rich guy's kind of embarrassed, and Tanner goes, "No!" The young man said, "Well, then you'll go to hell." Yeah. And went home. Yeah. Went home. That guy went home that night and was trying to go to sleep, and all he could hear was that young man saying, "Well, then you're going to go to hell." Yeah. He woke up and thought, "I guess I will." Days it rang. You all know the end of this story. Where doctor, you know, smarter than you, preacher and Bible professor, had tried many times, but it was God used that young man with his simple logic that was so irrefutable and his love for Christ and the bravery in his heart and reached the man that the doctor at the Bible college probably would never reach. Amen? And I'm saying when God uses the word fool, the idea there is not IQ. When God talks about the scorner or the fool or the simple one, the idea there is not talking about IQ at all. It's talking about a moral state. It's talking about morality, a moral state. That a fool is a person devoid of spiritual understanding. Before they become hardened, they will probably never repent. All right, real quick, look at 122. How long, ye simple ones? Let's talk about them real quick. A simple one loves simplicity. They're happy-go-lucky. They don't want any rules at all. You know, no rules. You try to explain to them about the rule, and they don't want to hear it. They just want to have fun. They want to play their radio station. They want to go to the dance. They want to, you know, try this. They want to try that. Very, very happy-go-lucky. They don't want any chores. They don't want any responsibility. They don't want any duty. They just want to kick their heels up, and they think that life ought to be that way until they die because that's what they want. They think they ought to get it. They're just simple ones. I heard about a boy, and he was told his buddy. He said, "I'm worried to death." He said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well, my dad works all the time, and he's working overtime, and he's trying to save up money to make sure I can go to college. And my mom, she does the housework and the laundry, and she cooks, and it's just like that." And his buddy looked at him and he said, "Well, good night. What are you so worried about?" He said, "I'm afraid they might escape." He's happy. He's lucky. He wants. You know, he doesn't want any rules. Look at 9:4. We're going to look at a lot of verses. I'll try to scoot along. Look at 9:4. That whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith it to him. He lacks understanding. He just does not get it. Look at 14:15. The simple believeth every word. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. What is it about the simple? The simple is easily led. Easily led. All the boys grow mustaches and ponytails at school, so they got them to have them a ponytail and a mustache. All the girls wear a miniskirt, so she has to have her a miniskirt. They all listen to the, you know, whoever, you know, some Rolling Stone or something, so they think they got to listen to the Rolling Stone. They just, peer pressure. Show me the crowd you run with, and I'll tell you the kind of a person you are or the kind of a person you soon will become. You say, no, I'll change them. No, you won't. They will change you. That's just the way that it works. That peer pressure. To look like the crowd, act like that. Somebody said all these. I heard about a boy down in Tennessee. He said all these kids trying to be themselves. I heard about a guy who went to California to find himself. His daddy called him up. He said, "Are you there?" Oh, that's funny. Don't you think that's funny? You know, but they all want to be, you know, unique. If they all want to be unique, why do they all look like Tarzan, sound like Jane, and smell like Cheetah? Every one of them, amen? Every one of them, they're not being unique. They're all being like each other because they're scared to death just to be themselves and different. That peer pressure. They've done studies. They did a study in a doctor's office one time, and they got, you shouldn't do this, this is immodest, but they got all the people in the waiting room, they just sitting there in their undergarments. They're sitting there in their drawers, you know, and they're all sitting there looking at a magazine just as calm as they can be. And then when a new patient would walk in, and they'd go, you know what they did? They took their clothes off and sat down and got them a magazine. I mean, duh. That happened. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. They did a thing on the elevator where everybody in the elevator turned around and was looking at the back wall. They pushed the button and stand there. 9 out of 10 people that got on the elevator looked at them, pushed the button, and peer pressure. Peer pressure. They lack, they're easily led. Simple one, the word simple has the idea of open. Open. You ever heard, well, be open-minded about it? Kids, listen to me. You can be so open-minded, your brains fall out. There's some things don't turn loose of. You hold fast. Amen? That a psychologist talked about the influence. You say, Brother Turtle, so what's your point? Well, look at 22:3, and I'll make a point. Look at 22:3. Simple ones. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Simple ones. Peer pressure. Parents, listen to me. I've preached too many funerals. I have preached. I wish I knew how many funerals I've preached. Rain House is a big church, and 50 years. And that I told the Sunday school class this morning about what happened to me yesterday at a funeral. And I ain't going to take 10 minutes to talk to you about it, but it had to do with a dog in a casket. But anyway, I'll tell you later, okay? You want me to tell you? I'll tell you now, you know. I walked in Friday night. I went walking in the funeral home. I walked in. I'd done funerals for these people a lot. Funeral director comes over and leans over at me, and I know all the funeral directors. She said, Brother Terrell. I said, what? She said, have you heard about the pug? I said, I don't guess. What? The pug. It's a dog. We all know a pug with smash face. I said, no, why? She said, the lady that funeral, she said, she had a pug, loved it to death. I says, okay. When she died, the family put that dog down, had it cremated, and it's in the casket with her. I said, oh, whoa. And I peeked over her and said, Omar. I had his name on the side, you know. And they had this little fake dog up on it looking at him. they said, well, he bit everybody anyway. I was thinking, Omar shouldn't have bit people. This has not worked out well at all. Amen for Omar. You know, but that was it, you know. But I forget where I was at. But danger. Omar was in danger, should have known it. But following the crowd, wanting to be like everybody else. Every 22 minutes in America, somebody dies in a car wreck related to booze. 33% chance the victim is 15 to 24 years old. Now think about that. Every 22 minutes, somebody dies. Odds are, highest categories, 15 to 24 year olds. What happens? Here's what happens. You got your football game. You got your party. Kids get together. One of them has a driver's license in the car, has an ID, can get beer. They go in, there's somebody throw the money together, oldest one goes in, gets some beer, hops in the car, fired the thing up. Everybody is laughing and having the time of their life, and off they go screaming down the highway at a high rate of speed with no idea the incredible danger that they're in. They don't have the foggiest notion. They're about 90 seconds away from death, and they don't even realize how incredibly. Who acts like that? A simple one. No rules apply to me. It'll be okay. I don't have to worry. This is all right. If I want to do it, then that's all that matters. It's okay. And the Bible calls them the simple one. How many of you think, there's probably some people in here right now, you're thanking God that you're alive because maybe you were in situations like that when you didn't have the sense that you got today, and aren't you glad that God was merciful and God spared your life through those times? Amen? But I have preached too many funerals to know that it all works out. You say, are you that hard against booze? You preach the funeral of a teenager and stand by that casket and try to talk to their mom and dad, and you'd be against it too. Amen? I am against it. I am against every form of it. I don't even eat butter rum lifesavers. Now, that's the truth. Amen. I don't like. Stay away from it. Amen. Yeah. Stay away from it. That the smart aleck. Look at back to 122. Rewind. Look at 122. The scorner. The smart aleck. He delights in his scorning. He enjoys it. He gets his jollies by elbowing his buddy during a sermon like this. Can you believe that guy? Oh, good night. Oh, that's stupid. Youth director pours his heart out, has a good lesson, dangers of alcohol or drugs or premarital sex or something. And they can't even get into this building without one of them looking at the other one and saying, glad he don't know what happened last night. Ha, 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 you know. And they're smart aleck. The Greek word has the inclination of make a face. They go to camp. Other kids are receiving it. Other kids are being helped. The scorner. Good night. Oh, gosh. They make a face. They're a scorner. Look at 13:1. Look at Proverbs 13:1. This is the simple one becomes a scorner. There's a progression here, folks. Look at 13:1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. You kids, can I talk to you a minute? Please remember, odds are about 99.99999% that the best friends you've got on this planet is your mom and dad. Please remember that. Please remember that. Some of you might have parents that got saved later in life. Maybe you remember times and then life changed at home. Maybe, listen, they're doing the very best that they can. You ought to have enough decency to at least meet them halfway. And if you're being a jerk at home, this is real good preaching. Quit it. Quit it. Stop that. Honor your, you say, well, I obey them. But you do, you honor them. That honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, you're in there watching, you know, Gilligan's Island, and your daddy says, run in and wash the dishes, and you want to see what happens. They do never get off that island. You can forget that. Everybody else comes and goes every week, but they never get off. Amen. You know, but you want to watch the rest of it like you think they're going to get rescued. But and now you're mad, and you go in and you wash the dishes, but you got a bad attitude, and you break a dish on purpose, and you know, you don't tell your mama that you enjoyed the dinner, and you smirked at your dad as you walk by, but you washed the dishes. Did you obey? Well, I guess. Did you honor? No way. No way. And they don't just deserve obedience. They deserve honor. Amen? You say, well, I know more than they do. No, you don't. You might know about that stupid computer. I'm not bitter. You might know more about it than that stupid computer, but you've never been 45. They have been 15. They have been 15 and 16 and 17. You have never been 45 and 46 and 47. They do know a bunch of stuff that you don't. And you're hurting yourself if you stick your nose in there and be a know-it-all and walk away. You're not just hurting them. You're hurting your own self. If you got a younger brother or sister, God have mercy on you. Now you're hurting them. Amen. There's the smart aleck makes a face. They shake their head. They defy instruction. Look at 15:12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. There's a parent. There's a Sunday school teacher. There's a youth director. There's a pastor. There's a friend that would give wise instruction, but they will not go. They're mad at the world. They got that goofy smirk on their face. They think that makes them tough. It just makes you stupid. It doesn't make you tough. Grow up. Well, now I don't like him. You didn't like me when the sermon started, but I love you. Amen. Pride. They shake their head. They act a fool. They're on a bad road. And if something doesn't change, this is going to end badly. If something doesn't change, this is going to end badly. Let's look at the fool. Bible mentioned back at our text. Run back to one. I know you're flipping back and forth. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? They just love that. What I want to do, having fun, no rules, no regulations. If I want it, I get it. By the way, parents, Junior's room should not look like an aisle at Toys R Us. Well, he really wants an iPad. He don't need an iPad. That old one's fine. Well, I can afford it. I'm going to get it for him. Well, if you're going to get it for him, you're going to get it for him. But I want to tell you something. Giving a kid everything he wants without him working for it or being responsible for it, you're making a mistake. You're making a mistake. They'll appreciate it more and take better care of it if you let them earn that. There have actually been times I went to my mom and dad and went to Diane's mom and dad and said, don't get Jonathan that or don't get Hannah that. And they said, why not? I said, they need something that they don't have that they want. You know, they can do jobs. If you want to hire them to cut the grass, that's fine. But they don't need that handed to them. Amen? Now go back to the fool. Psalm 122. How long, you simple ones, love the scorners? They delight in their scorning. Making the joke about the preacher while he's preaching. You know, smirking when they bow your head to pray. Well, what's Moses going to do to us today? You know, they delight in that. They enjoy it. And then the other kids giggle. They laugh. By the way, If when there's a group, kids, you got a group of friends, and one of them, you know, makes a joke about Pastor Burke or something, calls him a name, or I just think that's stupid what he said. You know, those moments in life, you be a friend. Yeah. Say, I love my preacher, and I think he's right. He's right, you know. And if you think he's wrong, I think you're wrong. And I want to be friends, but he's trying to help us. And I want to listen to what he has. Sometimes that'll do more than any sermon Terrell Hudson will ever preach. When you have the backbone to stand up, you know, in that car or that hallway or wherever, and have a testimony. Amen? Amen? That the fool. While the simple one and the scorner is known by what they love, I said this a minute ago, fools are known by what they hate. They hate wisdom. They hate righteousness. They make fun of that which is holy. They mock at virginity. They mock at abstinence. They mock at going to church on a Sunday night. They mock at a preserved word of God that is truth and that settles it. They laugh at that. They make a mock. They hate that which is righteous. Saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, don't pray in my school and I won't think in your church. Don't pray in my school and I won't think in your church. An angry person wrote that. They hate the idea of, they're saying that Christians are not thinking. They're saying that Christian kids ought not be able to pray in their schools, what they're saying, if you carry forward their logic. They hate. They rejoice in sin. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Ever since that Supreme Court thing leaked and on Roe v. Wade, and I thought, is it Psalms 2? And I flipped the news on. It's hard to find a news station now that's not headquarters for disinformation and rooting for the liberals and the heretics. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. You can't find just simple report. Flipped it on, and they was all carrying on about, you know, abortion and all of that. Brother Troy, what do you think about it? I think life begins at conception. I think it's a baby. It's a baby. And I think a society is in trouble when we turn like a venomous beast upon the most innocent, and the part of our population is an unborn baby. I mean, if you want to swing at somebody, swing at me. At least I can fight back a little bit. But that little baby in that womb, it's defenseless. Amen? And when a society turns on that, we have lost all standing. We had to ever look down a long self-righteous nose at Nazi Germany. As atrocious as what they did was, we have done far worse in the eyes of a holy God than what we've done to the unborn in our country. All across America on them computers, there are calendars right now in every major city in America. Every major city in America, there are medical facilities with appointments of young women who will go into those facilities tomorrow morning, and the blood of the most innocent part of our population will run through the sewers of those cities. How in the world can we say, God bless us? We ought to be saying, God, go ahead and judge us. Amen? We say, God bless us. Why should He? Why should He? We say, God bless America. Why should He? Because of the abortion? Because of the booze? Because of our immorality? Because we've kicked Him out of the schools and thrown away the Ten Commandments? And then we say, God bless us? Why should we? God will bless America when America blesses God. When I was a little kid, I heard things like this. God, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You ain't going to get much of that in Congress. You ain't going to get much of that in the public schools. You ain't going to get much of that at the courthouse. You ain't going to get much of that about a couple old birds standing on the street corner and talking, because we don't think that way anymore. Amen? And our children are growing up in that. When I saw that news, why do the heathen rage? And boy, they do. Boy, they rage. They say the awfulest things. Those stupid signs they hold up, you could not read them in mixed company and not read them in any company. Raging. And in America, who's the bad guy? It's the person that says we need to protect the unborn baby. Who's the bad guy? It's the person that says marriage is one man to one woman, period. Who's the bad guy? The bad guy is the one that says that we ought to take a stand for righteousness and that there is right and wrong. They call Eve, the old king looked and said, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" No, that king was the one that was troubling Israel. Amen? And folks, it's probably not going to get any better. But let's never forget. I keep telling you how old I am. I don't know why. I'm 67. I've had a good life. It's over tonight. I've had a good time. I have. I've had the best friends, the best mom and dad. Pretty good sister, but don't, you know. But I've had the best sister. I've got to preach right now. Man alive, I'm going around preaching and meeting wonderful people and seeing some folks saved. And I don't have to go to any more committee meetings, and it's just wonderful, you know. And I'm enjoying it. It's a good ride. I mean, who knows what tomorrow holds? But if it ends tonight, it's been a good one. I got no regrets. But I've got grandkids, and I think, Lord have mercy, what if they live as long as I've lived? What will they see? God's never promised that we wouldn't see martyrs again. We think martyrs are in Africa. Where'd you read that in your King James Bible? And I want to tell you something. Those that have given their life to seal their testimony and have been persecuted, I'm not better than them. I couldn't tie their shoes. I've never been through that. God help us to be faithful. For one thing, for the Lord's sake, but let's be faithful for our kids' sake. He said, "Well, I'm like you, Brother Terrell. My kids are raised." You got some grandkids? They come over to the house, climb the trees, go in the basement. Get all over the place. Open the refrigerator door 1,436 times at least every day. You know. What do you think has changed in the last 25 seconds? You know, open that up. You know, they look at her. Here you go. You know, oh, those kids. What will they see in their lifetime? God help us. God help us. What do we do? The fool, and I'm not, I don't want anybody to give up, but there's a spot to where God says, that's it. That's it. You say, no, God would never do that. You don't know your Bible real well, darling. Listen, God said, go back to our text. You see our text? Remember our text, how long, you simple ones? Will you love simplicity? The scorners delight in your scorning. Fools hate knowledge. God said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit into you. I will make known my words unto you. So these are people that have heard. They could have responded right, but they didn't. Now watch. Because I have called and ye refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Ye have sought it, said it not, all my counsel, and would not at my reproof. They reached a point here. Now what's God say he will do? I also will laugh at your calamity. He said God wouldn't do that. He said he would. Black ink on white paper in the King James Bible. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation. Your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices? For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. It's how you respond to the truth. We pray that the simple one, the scorner, the fool will respond right to the truth. But they are not robots. This morning in Sunday school we talked about Calvinism. But God does not make us a robot. God does give them a free will. And what we need to pray is that they will exercise that free will and respond right to the truth that's presented to them. If you've got a prodigal out there that was raised in church, they may not be acting like it, but that word that was put in their heart, those verses, those songs, those messages that they heard, it's still in there. Train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, will not depart from it. He will not depart from that training. He cannot. It's still in there. You remember David? David sinned. What happened? Here come Nathan. Thou art the man. What did David do? He repented. He went to the tent, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Remember Pharaoh? God sent Pharaoh Moses. What did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh hardened his heart. No. 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 We need to quit. Brother Trill, what do I do? Start early. Start. Somebody asked John R. Rice, when do you start disciplining? He said, with a little girl, you can wait a few weeks, but with a little boy, start right away. Start. And you say, well, he's just two. It's just cute. No, it's not. No, it's not. They stomp their little foot and swing at you.
Right.
It's time to... Don't spank them on an empty stomach. Turn them over. Well, you need to deal with that little bird. He'll start swinging at his mama. He'll talk to the police officer that way. He's in for a life of misery until he learns how to respect somebody. Amen? That start early. That use discipline. Thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. God says he won't die. They act like they're dying. They cry like they're dying, but they won't die, you know. I'm not saying you hurt them. I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about child abuse. I think you know what I'm saying. But I'm saying this. They need discipline. Sometimes just take the iPad away. Sometimes just go back in the back bedroom. When I take my belt off of an evening to get ready to go to bed, I take it off slowly. If I take it off too fast, it makes that noise. You remember that noise? I could still fall on my knees and cry out for mercy when I hear that sound. You know what I'm saying? You know. I had a mom and a dad. They didn't threaten to spank. They just spanked. I'm going to spank you. I'm going to spank you. I'm going to spank you. No, you're not. Why don't you surprise them and actually tell the truth someday? I feared my daddy so much, I knew that if he said, you're getting a spanking when you get home, if the rapture happened, he would get me on the way up. I had no doubt in my mind. I knew that would happen. Discipline. Children need that. My little darling, don't. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And if you keep telling them that what they do is okay and they're not doing anything wrong, they're going to have a hard time admitting that they're a sinner someday when they come up to the age to be saved. They need to understand that they are a little sinner. You need to convince them of that. Amen? Start early. Keep them, watch their buddies. Don't let them run around with the wrong crowd. Just don't. If they go to the ball game and sneak off and get with the crowd that you have not okayed, that's the end of ball games for a long time. Don't let them. If you want your little girl to be virtuous, then don't let her run around with a bunch of girls that are not virtuous. If you don't want your son to drink, then don't let him run around with a football team that drinks. Don't do it. What about just once? No. Listen to me. No. No. A companion of fools will be destroyed. Destroyed. There's another principle. Here's another. I'm going to quit. I told you I was going to quit. What does the Bible say about the scorner? The Bible says, cast them out. Cast them out. Really? Yeah, really? Really? I had a case just not long ago. We used to, I don't think anybody here figured this out or I wouldn't tell it, but years ago, Diane kind of watched some girls and my wife Diane's watched half the kids in Ohio, so it loves kids. There was these girls, they're sweet girls. Go to camp every month or every summer, and Bible verses, sing in the choir. Good kids. They weren't members of Rain Heights, but members of a very good church. And that middle girl, she just got sideways. She got a boyfriend. She never should have. Don't just date a bunch of people and then pick out a good one to marry. It don't work that way. You're asking for trouble, all capital letters. They don't work that way. You're too precious to be passed around like that. Young ladies, don't be like a block of salt out in the corner of the pasture that every old bull comes around and licks on. Don't act like that. Amen? You're worth more than that. You are more precious than that. And you can lose something very precious that you will never get back. Don't do that. Amen? Amen? This girl, I don't know. Bless her heart. She just, mom and dad didn't approve. She got mad. She started sneaking out. She's 18, I think. I think it was 18. She's a young adult. They didn't know where she was. She's running around with this young man, and they had suspicions, and disappeared one night, and they went looking for her and found her outside the house of the young man. And they, "Where do you think you've been, young lady? You need to get home right now. We're going to talk about this." And she said, "No, we're not. And you can just shut up. I'm not listening to you. I've had it. And I'm moving out next week." Now, that's interesting. She's scorning. She's rejecting. She's entered into a lifestyle that God clearly forbids. She's been taught right from day one. And they love her with all their heart. Neither one of them would have died for her. But here she is in their face. "You will not tell me what to do. I'm going to continue committing adultery with this man. And don't worry about it, because in a week I'm moving out of the house." And that dear daddy looked at her and he said, "No, honey. You're leaving right now. You're leaving right now." He ought not have done that. Yes, he should. Because she knew better. She had made her choice. She's a young adult. You can't put her in her bedroom. She's influencing her two sisters, and she is as unrepentant as it gets. And the Bible says to cast out the scorner. Sometimes a church has to cast out a scorner. Sometimes a business has to cast out a scorner. Amen? Why? Because there's right and there's wrong. And you listen, the fellowship that we enjoy when we're submissive is too precious to be taken away from us at somebody that chooses not to be submissive. I'm talking about to God and to His Word and to what's right. Does that make sense? The simple ones and the scorners and the fools. Don't raise a fool. Start very early and be very consistent. Let's pray.